Well, I just discovered two more connections between the Yahrzeit and Hanukkah. First, I didn't realize your Kohanim, the whole Nes, so Hashmonaim were Kohanim, but it's the 44th Yahrzeit. 44 is the grand total of all the candles you light on Hanukkah. Right, with the Shamash. Right. It's amazing.
That's how many come in the box. Right.
Right.
Anyway, so this parsha ushers in the whole saga of Mechiras Yosef that spans, you know, three parshas: Vayeshev, Miketz, Vayigash. To understand, you know, the gravity of this tragedy, because even though they sort of reconciled in parshas Vayigash, but not totally. You know, as you know, the Navi says, we're still waiting for Ephraim lo yotzurus, Yehuda of Yehuda lo yotzurus, Ephraim, that Judah, you know, Yehuda, who was the ringleader and the idea of selling him, and Ephraim, who are the sins of Yosef, you know, we have to wait for that day where they're not going to be at loggerheads with each other. Let's not forget, as Rashi points out in this week's Parsha, Shechem, the same place where they sold Yosef, centuries later, is where the Jewish kingdom split into Yehuda and Yisrael, Yehuda being led, you know, by Rechavam, an Enoch of Yehuda, and Yisrael being led by Yeravam ben Nevat, who was an Enoch from Yosef. Right, so and the Asar Aruge Malchus was all part of the Kapara for Chet Mechiras Yosef. We have to understand what was the terrible sin that Am Yisrael is still paying for and still hasn't fully reconciled. But the amazing thing is that it's fail safe. It happens every year. It all comes out during Hanukkah. Right, the story of Mechiras Yosef is always comes out during Hanukkah. You know, and already in this week's parsha, there are very overt remuzim, you know, to Hanukkah. Right, there's the famous line that says in this week's parsha that they threw him into Haborek Ein Bo Mayim. It was empty and it has no water. So Rashi brings from the Gemara. So I have to say, well, if it's empty, of course there's no water. So it's a double lashon, no water. Water there wasn't, but snakes and scorpions there were. You know where that Maimar Chazal is? Right in the middle of the sugya of Hanukkah, right after the din, that Hanukkah candles can't be higher than 20 amos because you have to be able to see them. Right, right after that comes this, you know, this drasha. Right? Yeah, it's something which, you know, the Darshanim always, always been a field day for the Darshanim. But there's something a little bit more overt in the very beginning of this week's parasha. Right, Rashi, one of the in Rashi Yoshan. So he says, "Hapishtani hazeh nechvasu gemalav tluim pishtan. Hapachami tama ani kares kol pishtan hazeh." Right, there was a blacksmith, and he sees donkeys laden with flax coming in and just blocking traffic. You know, a nuisance for everybody. You know, where are we going to find room for all these? You know, flax that's laid on top of camels. Right. So one wise man told him, one spark comes out from under your anvil and will burn, you know, catch fire and burn all the straw that's on top of the camels. Right? Right, so Yaakov, knowing what it says at the end of Parshas Vayishlach, talking about how Esav became a massive empire, who could conquer all these people. So Maksav Lamas would say right after that, after the Vayishlach ends off with the story of Esav and his empire, would say Elatos Yaakov Yosef, Uksiv Vaya Beis Yaakov Eshu Beis Yosef Lahava, Ubeis Esav Lakash, Nitzo Echad Yoitze, Mi Yosef Shech Mechal Visoris Kulam. You know, that Yosef is alluded to a flame, that, you know, Yosef, your son Yosef, he's the one, he's the spark that comes out and will burn them all. So listen to the Lashon of the Mishnah at the end of the sixth parak of Baba Kama. Right, gates ayotze mitachas apaches yotze isik chayev. You know, talking about mash the words of Rashi. A spark came out from under the hammer of the blacksmith, and it went and caused damage. Chayev, gomel shutam pishton over b'shusarabim. You have camels laden with flax walking shusarim. Mash what Rashi is talking about. V'nichzav pishton tocha chanut v'dalka b'nal shochavani. And now the flax, you know, because it was oversized burden. It went into the store and caught fire on the candle of the storekeeper. Vidik Sabir and caused the fire that burnt down the building. Baal Gamar Chayev, right, the owner of the donkey is Chayev because he overloaded it to the point that it was a fire hazard, that it could go into a shop and catch fire with the candle. But if the storekeeper put his candle outside. Now the storekeeper's chayav because he's negligent with fire. Ah, Reb Yehuda Omer b'ner Chanukah Potter. Right? Ner Chanukah Potter. Right? That's a case where, you know, as it were, you know, the fire does come out of the shop and your potter. So come that, you know, that when the Gemara dealt with what Rashi says in a halachic perspective, there's a fire that comes out that'll burn all that flax and it's mutter and it's potter. That's the Ner Chanukah. Which means Yosef is the Ner Chanukah by this, you know. We're setting up the aligning, you know, this Mishnah with, you know, Rashi's metaphor. But it's more than that. It's much more than that. Because in the original Chanukah Sabayis in Parshas Naso, the first Chanukah Sabayis in history, you know, Chanukah Samishkan. So, you know, there were elaborate gifts that were brought by each one of the Nesiim, right? And each one brought the same thing, right? There's a Karas Kesev Achad, what we learned at the end of Parshas Naso, and everyone brought a Seir Izim Lechatos. And so Rashi brings from Rashi, why a Seir Izim Lechatos, a sin offering of a sin Izim, to be Mechaper on Mechiras Yosef. Because it says in this week's Parshas, Vayishchatu Seir Izim, they had shechted a Seir Izim to do the ruse, you know, to dip his colored jacket into it and say, you know, it must have been gored. So, when they did Chanukah Habayis, they did the very first Chanukah, right? Chanukah Habayis in the Midbar, right? They had to be mechaper, do something to be mechaper on Chet Mechiras Yosef, which means that Mechiras Yosef is somehow related to Chanukah Habayis, right? Or is a big shter to Chanukah Habayis, that a Chanukah Habayis, you need a kapara for it, right? The truth is, you know, the, you know, understanding how, you know, the chet was never fully fixed. Because when Yosef and Binyamin get reunited in Parshas Vayigash, and Yosef reveals himself, you know, to the brothers. So it says that Vayech al Tzavrei Binyamin, u Binyamin b'chatzav, he cried on the necks, plural, of Binyamin, and Binyamin cried on his neck. So Rashi, you know, brings from Chazal, how many necks did Binyamin have? No, it refers to the two Batei Mikdashos that are in the Chilek of Binyamin that are destined to be destroyed. And he was crying on Yosef's neck on the Mishkan Shiloh because Shiloh is in Yosef's portion. So you see, the idea of Chorban Habayis, you know, is connected to the idea of Mechiras Yosef, and it wasn't fully reconciled, and that's why there's a Chorban Habayis. And when you want to make a Chanukah Habayis, you got to do a countermeasure, a series of Mechatas, to nullify, in some way, work against, you know, the effect of Mechiras Yosef, right? But we're still, right? We're still, you know, pointing out dots. We need to connect the dots and get to the inner connection. What we see later in Parshas Vayigash, we see in retrospect that when Yaakov, in this week's Parsha, sent Yosef off, you know, to meet with his brothers, who sadly sold him, right? They were learning a particular sugya together right before he sent him. Vayar Sagolos, Ashashoach Yosef, right? They were learning the sugya of Egra Rufra. That's very interesting, right? It can't be by happenstance, right? That they happen to be learning the sugya of Egla Rufa before Yosef goes and gets sold. But Egla Rufa has to do with what we're saying. How do you? What is the main act, the Maisa Mitzvah of Egla Rufa? Right? Break the neck. Break the neck, right? And that's Vayef called Savare Binyam, Bir Bachal Tsarv, has to do with the neck. Right? So, and now, interestingly enough, when Yosef in Parshas Vayigash, right, comes and gets reunited with his own father, you know, so it says Vayef called Tsavar Yaakov, right? He cried on Yaakov Vinu's neck, and over there is no drasha. Right? Rashi is happy to say it's Kaputo. By, you know, Yosef and Binyamin, you know, it refers to the Batei Mikdashos. By Yaakov Vinu, no drasha. Why not? Right? Over there, it's, you know, Tzavaro Kepshuta. The thing is like this. The, when you, anyone here run a company? Anyone here in charge of employees?
Yeah, Alan is in charge of his company.
As yeah, well, fine.
I have a company.
All right, isn't it true, right? Isn't it true? That, you know, you give instructions and you explain it, you know, in simple English. And you could explain and explain until you're blue in the face. but somehow not all of it gets done or not all of it gets understood, no matter how many times, right? What?
Especially in India. Most of the employees are in India.
Right. Right. You know, right. We're not going to go into ethnicity right now, you know, so we live in the Obama administration. I don't. Even to people, grew up in the same culture, you can explain to our children, whenever you're issuing instructions, right? Instructions, right? You talk, give it over clear and until you're blue in the face. It's like, it's like that game of telephone that somehow from machshava to maisa, from the tzivui to the execution, something gets lost, right? Right. That sort of explains, the phenomenon that, it's a sad phenomenon, was called Yerida Sadoros, right? That generations, unfortunately get weaker as they go down the line, because the relationship between the generation before and the generation after is the relationship between machshava and maisa. Like, the generation before us left us books. They left us instructions. They give us instructions. Leman yitzaves bonaves beso achara v'shamu derech Hashem. They leave us instructions, right? They give us, whether it's directives or whether it's values that we're supposed to execute. And something between the instructions and the execution, something always gets lost. And that's why there's like Yerida Sadoros, because, they give us the instructions, but from, the instruction to implementation, something gets lost. Right? So I want to know if it ever happened to an individual, meaning to say like this, right? You plan and you make, your mind, decides doing X, Y, and Z. The body follows the instruction. Did something ever get lost between here and here?
All the time.
Oh, no. Oh, man. All right, so forget it. We're done. Right. Right? What? What? Right. From the head. Oh, man. Right. From the head, to the hand, Right. You decide you're doing something and you have a plan. Right. You never had a problem, as you would think, with your own arms and your own legs going on and, executing, right? I mean, it's always when it's someone else, right? So even though he's an employee and he owes you, right? And he's kafuf to you, he's meshubit to you, right? And you're, much more than your...
David HaMelech had that problem. Whenever he tried to go, David HaMelech, he always took him to the best
place. Right? I said, look, when you decide to do something, you could follow your mind's instructions, right, to a T, right? It's when it's someone else, even if that someone else owes you more than you owe yourself. And what's the reason for that? Okay. Right. Because your head and your body are physically connected by the neck. That's the function of the neck, the spinal column that goes down the neck, right? That it makes it that it's one unified entity, and because it's one unified integrated unit, there's not going to be any glitch between the plans, the ideas, the ideology, and the performance. That's the function of the neck that make the machshava and the maisa one unit. You're not connected that way with the people that you give orders to, even though they are duty bound to obey you. Right? That's the function of a neck. Right? That it makes machshava and maisa, which is really the difference between the generation above, they give us the instructions, and our generation is supposed to, apply what they teach us and command us, right? A neck makes the machshava and maisa, one integrated unit. And that's why, hopefully, a healthy individual, mentally and emotionally balanced, right, ought to be able to do, right? Whatever he's decided, he's going to do. Right. That's the inyan of Yosef HaTzadik. Right. The Yaakov's special fondness towards Yosef. Ki ben zekunim hu lo. Right. So aside, the different pshatim Rashi, he launched look like Yaakov, or he was makabel all the Torah, everything that Yaakov knew, all the Torah of Shem ve'Aver, he gave to Yosef. Yosef was a bridge, because a era is about to end. We're going from the era of Avos, the three Avos are like one integrated unit, the Tkufa of Avos is like one era of Klai Yisrael, and moving down to another era, the Shvatim. Right? There's going to be a down, as seemingly a downgrading, right, of the era, right? And seemingly Yerida Sadoris, not, you know, Ein Korm L'Avos El Shlosha. These three were from the Madrega called Avos, and that's why these three and their wives are buried in Marsa Machpelah, special status. Now we're going to go get downgrade, you know, from, you know, them, who give us our ideas and our ideology. They're also called our Avos because they set our ideological path. Like it says, like the Pasuk by Avram Avinu, Kosher says, I love Avram. Leman Yitzaves, Banaves, Beso, Achor, Shamu, Derech Hashem. Right? The era called the Avos, which is like the mind of Am Yisrael, the head of Am Yisrael, is coming to an end. Now starts, as it were, the branches, the body. Right? There has to be a connector as a counterbalance to Yerida Sadoros. Right? And that was the function of Yosef. The Indian of Yosef Atzadik, that is, that an amazing thing, that his children are Shvatim. Ephraim, Umenashe, Kruven, Vishiman, Yuli, right? He had a quasi-status of an Av, because his own two kids were, you know, were not Shevet Yosef, they themselves were Shvatim, right? He's an intermediate status, that in a certain way, he is like quasi-Av, because he's supposed to be that connector. That's why he's, you know, Yaakov's particularly fond of him. He's really the connection between Yaakov and the whole new tkufa of Shvatim that are going to follow. Yosef is that connector.
So yesterday's daf says that he was really supposed to have 12.
Right, exactly.
He was supposed to have 12, but the whole Maisa was...
With
two, but really, you see the 12.
Right.
He was supposed to have 12.
That's right. So Yosef is a quasi-Av because you need him there to bridge the generations, a counterbalance to Yerida Sadoros, that there should be something that's a kesher, right, to the Doris that there were. And this is the Inyan, you know, I heard from a close friend of mine, when I was a Bachar Neri, so a friend of Chavra of mine, Reb Simcha Ber, you know, asked, you know, he raised a very interesting idea. You know, B'cho Yivarchis Yisrael, Leimor, Yisimcha Okim Kefrayim Menashe. Yaakov already said, this is going to be the bracha for all times. Yisimcha Okim Kefrayim Menashe. That's going to be the bracha. Why is that the bracha that every father should give his son? Right? Because Ephraim and Menashe had dinim of Shvatim, as if they were children of Yaakov Vino himself. That's the biggest bracha to give your children. There should be no Yerida Sadaris.
Oh, is this good for Yotzei too?
No, we're going to tie it in. So. There you go. You know, that's the bracha, and those were the kids of Yosef. Right, that, you know, Yosef is the counterbalance to keep Am Yisrael connected to the Madrega of the Avos, right? And the and that's the Inyan, you know, when he was faced with this Nisayan of Eishes Potiphar. So what does he say? He sees Yaakov Vinu's image. He is, because that's what he is. He is a window to the Madrega of the Avos, and that's where he gets his strength from. That he doesn't assimilate. The truth is, that's where we get our strength from. That we're connected and we don't assimilate, right? And that's the Indian of Bris Mila, that Yosef Atzadik, that he was obeyed in the Nisayan of Bris. Bris is all about being connected. And that's the Indian that David HaMelech was in the, you know, Beis HaMerchatz, and he felt bad. He doesn't feel connected to God because he doesn't have mitzvahs to do. But then Niskar B'Mila, right? And the Indian of the Mila is that you're always connected, right? That's, you know, that, and that's why the two are very much related. Yosef HaTzadik, that his function is to keep Am Yisrael connected to the Avos, right? That, you know, that's the Inyan of Bris Mila, that you're always connected to God, and that's why that is called his Mida, a Shomer HaBris. That's what Bris is. Bris is to be always kosher, right? You're kosher to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're kosher to the earlier generations, no matter what. Even if you're living up to the grade or not, if you're doing mitzvahs or not, you still have the bris. There's still a kesher there. Right? Which explains now, you know, and better understand the jealousy that the other brothers had of him, because that's a very unique function. He's quasi-av, right? To be, he is the neck, right? That connects Avos and Shvatim. And as it were, a countermeasure against Yerida Sadoros to keep the connection going. Right?
That's what he's like the Bechor, no?
That's right. Yeah, Din of Bechor, right? That's correct. Right? That's correct. I mean, 100%. Right? And he gets Pishnaim. And it's not Shechem Achad Alachecha. Right? Correct. Right? Right? But now you could also understand the amazing tragedy of what Bechiras Yosef means. You know, he wasn't just Stam another Jew. He wasn't just Stam one of the 12. He is the link to the others. Right? Right? It's disconnect. It's like breaking the neck of Am Yisrael. The others are our head. The rest are, it's like breaking the neck of Am Yisrael. Right? So now you understand we're sort of getting into Egla Arufa. Right? You know, getting into Egla Arufa, right, understanding how that mitzvah is, you know, is also a counterbalance to a tragedy. A person died veloi niach peres, right? He didn't leave fruits behind. He didn't leave, you know, generations behind. You know, he didn't have a chance to also do his mitzvahs. They're also called Ikar Tol Sem Shel Tzadikim mitzvahs. Lo asa peres, right? He was cut off because that's a very interesting lashon. Lo asa peres, right? The idea of producing fruit, you know, that's called hemshech, new generations, passing it on, right? The seed that you plant, you know, in Paris, the seed is the father, and has in DNA the tree, right? The tree is based on the, you know, they emerge afterwards, the DNA, and lasos peros is to make the connection between that seed and the ground to make the next generation, right? And that's, you know, and it's not a coincidence. Yosef HaTzadik, you know, he's compared to Bechor Shoro Hadrolo, right? He's called the shore, right? Egla Aruf. You take an eagle and you break its neck, right? Because every Jew is part of the process of keeping the generations going, you know, of the keeping the hemshech, keeping the connection. You know, he is missing. There's another connector that's missing. Another connector, you know, between the seed and the next generation, between the seed and the tree and the fruit. Then, so that connector has been missing. Lo asa peres doesn't do mitzvahs, right? He hasn't had a chance to do mitzvahs. You know, kayadua, mitzvahs loshim loshim tzavta. Make a connection. This, every Jew is, in a way, a connector, you know, between the generations that came before him, there's come after him. This connector has been broken, so you break the neck. You break the neck of this animal because that's the relationship between the generations that were and the generations that will be. It's like the neck that connects the head with the body. The head that gave us the direction, the tzivui, the tzava, right, and the body that carries out. And that mitzvah is a counterbalance, you know, to the beruach hakoresh, to, you know, the tragedy that Am Yisrael was about to go through with Mechiras Yosef. So min hashamayim they're learning that too, because this mitzvah is somewhat of a tikkun for that problem. And that's the function of the Beis HaMikdash, that we say because of Chet Mechiras Yosef, when there's a Chanukah Sabayis, right, you got to do something, bring a seer al-chatas, right, to some kapar from Mechiras Yosef. But ultimately, they knew that the tikkun's not complete, and they foresaw the chorbonus of the Beis HaMikdash, which was merumas in the necks of, you know, of Binyamin and Yosef. That the function of a Beis HaMikdash, aside from the the opportunity to do the mitzvahs of the avodas, you know, hakorbanos, right, is that the Beis HaMikdash is a connector between heaven and earth. That's where heaven and earth meet. You know, we say we were chosen to be dovek in Akashu, chosen to be dovek in the Shechina. Right, so now in the Zman of Gos, we believe it's true. We don't feel that connection. The Beis HaMikdash is where that connection, you could see it. You could see it happening. And you could mamash draw Simchas Beis HaShoeva Shemisham Shoavim Ruach HaKodesh. Right? Over there, you felt your connection to God. You felt your connection to Mamad Har Sinai. The connection between you and all the generations that came before, you feel that at the Makom HaMikdash. And that's why Chazal, in the Pasuk Shir Hashem, I can't remember the Lashon of the Pasuk, that's why you're talking about Tzavarech. Chazal darshan that on the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash is the neck also. When you push out Yosef, who is the connector, so you're really, you know, being pagam in the Beis HaMikdash, which is also the connector between us and the Shechina.
So right now, the Beis HaMikdash is put, it's not on the highest mountain because it has to be on the, like, on the shoulders, like on the Tzavarech.
Right. Right.
Well, really, the Beis HaMikdash is the face. So it's the face of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Rav Panai, it says the face of HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
Right.
And so that becomes a link to...
Yeah. But with this we can understand, right, that, you know, when they're crying, when the Shvatim are crying each other's necks, it's Meram is on the Beis HaMikdash. When Yosef is crying on Yaakov Vinu's neck, there's no drasha, because that's Pshuto Shel Mikra, because that's the function of Yosef. He's the neck of Yaakov Vinu to continue the kesher between Yaakov Avinu and Knesset Yisrael. Besod Yaakov Avinu lo meis mazar b'chaim afu b'chaim. You know, Yosef makes that. Yosef makes that connection. So by Egla Arufa, right, who's there? Who comes to visit? Besides from the Sanhedrin of the town that was, you know, the Sanhedrin comes. Who else comes?
Kohanim.
So very, read the Lashon HaPasuk of Uyo. The Torah explains why the Kohanim have to come to the Egla Arufa site. Right, so it says, V'nikshu HaKohanim, B'nei Levi, Kibom Bachar Hashem Elokecha L'Shar, because Hashem chose them to serve him in the Makom HaMikdash. V'levorach B'Shem Hashem, and they actually say the Shem HaMafurash when they, but that's only in the Makom HaMikdash. V'al P'yem Yakorif Kol Nega, they have to be there because they serve in the Mikdash. Because even though Yosef is the power of the neck, but the base of Mikdash is the neck also, because the Kohanim are stationed there, right? They have the power of the base of Mikdash. So over here we're supplementing that a neck was broken. So we're breaking the neck of this Egla, that this man, his, the connection that he would make between the Doros that were and the Doros that will be has been severed. And that relationship is called neck. We break the neck. The Kohanim that serve in the Makom HaMikdash, which is the neck, have to be there to make that supplementation, which means that the Kohanim, mitzad the fact that they're stationed in the base, which is called the neck, have a power reflective of the power of Yosef HaTzadik. Right? So now we can understand, you know, what the Kesher is to Hanukkah. Right? You know, the Yevonim, you know, they didn't torch the base of Mikdash. When the Bavliim broke in there, they torched it. When the Romans broke in there, they torched it. The Greeks don't want to torch it. They want to defile it. Right? Because if you torch it, you haven't proved anything. They want to prove that the Yidden are not more connected to God than we are. We, with our secular culture, you know, that's the peak of human perfection. There's no higher level. You don't prove that. You don't prove you're better than someone by killing them. Right? You got to leave them alive, and you got to belittle him. You got to denigrate him. You know? Right? And that's how you also show your superiority. They leave the base of Mikdash intact. They just want to defile it. Right? It's an amazing thing. The Gemara said, you know, the Medrash Rabbah on the Pasuk, on the by Maaseh Bereishis, Tov Avo V'choshech. The Medrash starts on the four evil empires. Tov, Bavel, Vohu, Modai, Choshech Zu Yavan, Shechshicha Einayim Shel Yisrael, V'omlem Kisvu Al Keren Ashor, Ein Lanu Chelek B'Lokei Yisrael. The Gzer that's called it dark in our eyes is they don't take, you know, on the horn of an ox engraved, Ein Lanu Chelek B'Lokei Yisrael, we're not connected to God. Why an ox? Yosef. Anti-Yosef, right? Yosef makes the connection, right? Right? Yosef makes that. No, on that horn of the ox, say, you're not connected. That's anti what Yosef is all about. They're denigrating, right? The chibur that Yosef makes, right? And that's why they defile the base of Mikdash, defiling this neck and defiling that neck. They're mitame, the Mikdash, right? And that's also the secret that they were geyser al hamila, right? Everything that represents remaining connected. Say, you're not connected to anything special. You're just equally as disconnected from God as we are. No, you're not more connected. You're disconnected. Break the neck. It was a countermeasure to Yosef, the Keren Ashur, the Bechor Shor Hodolo, on that Keren engraved, En Lachem Chelek. You're not connected to okay, Israel. Right? So the Chashmonaim, you know, the Kohanim, being a integral part, you know, Kohanim are because, like we read in the Pasuk of Egla Arufa, because they're stationed in the base of Mikdash, they siphon power from the base of Mikdash to be a supplement for the power of Yosef, because the Aseres HaShvatim are in Golis ever since Sancherev exiled them, whereas we have the power of Yosef appearing is through the Kohanim, and they have that power because they are Kikum Bom Bachar Hashem Leshors, you know, because they're stationed in the base of Mikdash, they're the guardians of the base of Mikdash. They could supplement and they could have on loan the power of Yosef mitzad their function. The Chashmonaim come and they make a new Chanukah Sabayis, right? Because they have the power of Yosef. They have the power of making that connection, right? Restoring that connection. And they give us, you know, when they reinaugurate the Beis HaMikdash, you know, mitzad the power that they have, that they are connected, you know, to the, as the Maharal says, an amazing thing, right? You know, Heichol, they were Metame de Heichol. Heichol's Gematria 65. Yovan, right, is Gematria 66. So that's how they could be show it on the Heichal. Right? Got it? So that's all right. So, but it says like this. Says the Maharal, you could spell Heichal with two yuds if you want to have a yud instead of the tzeri on the bottom, in which case it becomes gematria 75. Now that hidden yud, which is, you know, it's a hidden yud because it's in the vowel of tzeri, which makes a yud sound, which makes an extra yud, right? That is the kedusha of the Kodesh HaKadoshim that Yevonim couldn't reach. It only says Dermatama de Heichal. They never reached the Kodesh HaKadoshim. They were just somehow blind and oblivious to it, right? Because it's above where they reach. It just was like invisible to them. That added yud is the kedusha of the Kodesh HaKadoshim that secretively permeates the Heichal. So says the Maharal. So if you had that extra yud, would make Heichal gematria 75. That's gematria Kohen. The Kohanim tap into the kedusha of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, which is way above where the Yevonim could reach, and they bring it out. They reveal it, right? And that's how they pushed the Yevonim out of the Heichal and restored it. And it's called that, you know, temporarily there was a tikkun, you know, for Mechiras Yosef. The power of Yosef reappeared in Knesset Yisrael, that they tried to break our connection with Kedusha. They wanted to be in the basement and defile it. Say, you have no connection to Kedusha. The Chashmonaim come and they restore that connection. There's a new Chanukah, right? And there's a renewed connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like the original Chanukah's HaMishkan, and they give us Ner Chanukah, with, as per the Gemara, you know, the Mishnah and Baba Kama, they were called Ner Chanukah is Bechinas Yosef, right? That they have the koch, because they're stationed in that neck, which is parallel to Yosef's neck, that's why they have that power on loan, right? And that's, you know, and this Ner Chanukah, this is what's keeping us going. Ad bias Mashiach Tzekeinu. This was the last nes in our history. This was like Yosef. This is like what's keeping us connected. The reason why, you know, we're in a gulus of 2,000 years already. Right? What's keeping us going is nes Chanukah. It's like Sofa Nisan. It is the last nes in our history. That Pach Hashem is still burning Ad Hayom Hazeh. So it's keeping us from assimilating. We're all still living off nes Chanukah. It's the last nes in our history. Shortly after that, less 200, just about 200 years later, right, started this golus. Just 200 years later, it was a hachana for this golus, right, that the power of Yosef made a comeback through the Chashmonaim to keep us connected, because it was foretold that Am Yisrael was going to go into golus. It was only 200 years later that it happened, right, and what keeps us connected, that Am Yisrael hasn't assimilated, that as much as that, unfortunately, there has been some Yiras Hadaras, but the candle's still burning, right, and Am Yisrael is not assimilated. It's all mikoach that.
So it's the predecessor to Mashiach. Yosef is the...
Right, Mashiach ben Yosef. As well, it's what leads it. It's what's going to keep us going until Mashiach ben David comes. B'meira b'yameinu. So it's a... I don't know, you know, all the derivatory nishmas of Alter ben Yoina, Hakoyin. Right, we see the Neis Chanukah right here at the table. Right, that the Baruch Hashem is... Zochah to Bonim uvenei Bonim oiskin b'Torah mitzvahs, no srach of Yerida Sadoris. I'm sure, you know, you could see pun of Bechaloin, right, in the window, just like Yosef HaTzadik saw, right? Oh, man, Baruch Shekivanti, there you go. There you go, just like Yosef, right? Even in Egypt with H. Potiphar, was able, never lost sight of Yaakov Avinu, because he's the connector, right? So Baruch Hashem, the Nifter was Zochah, so I know he was a Tzadik, that he made a Iskashras, that he was zochet to Doris Yisharim Mevorachim, you know, that, you know, Oskim Betormitzis Abias Gol Tzedek Bimherav Yameinu. Chaim.